Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. The first time I ever saw a Draft Confidential piece was from Ryan Russillo back in the day when he was working for ESPN Radio, and Grantlin let him do this, and he was, you know, able to get three executives. I think the one was a GM, one was like a senior scout type of deal. And it's just unfiltered thoughts on prospects. And it was awesome. And Ryan might not have been the first one to ever do that. It's not exactly and the most crazy idea. Like, hey, I'll grant you anonymity to say anything you want as long as I can quote you. Okay, sick. But taking that concept and applying it to drafts is something that I think turns into really good content. Bruce Feldman does it for The Athletic now on the NFL side. And David Aldridge, the Hall of Famer and our good pal, he has done it for the last couple of years on the NBA side as well for The Athletic. And so over the next 3 days, David's releasing all the work that he's done over the past couple of months, collecting all these quotes and getting all these opinions. And it's college coaches, college executives, because that's a thing now, like GMs of college programs. You have NBA executives, NBA coaches, all people who have thoughts on all these different prospects. And day one today is the guards, and there's some really interesting stuff in here. Not only, Anthony, for players that the Wizards could be considering at the 6th overall pick, but for some players that they will be considering surely at the 18th overall pick as well. I'm going to skip over Dylan Harper, other than just giving a overall thought that applies to everyone else, because Harper's going second. Whether he goes second to San Antonio or second to someone else, I think that is up for debate. It's a funky fit for Harper just because they already have De'Aaron Fox and just traded quite a bit for him. They have Steph Castle, last year's rookie of the year. But Harper is seen by most, I think, as a generational type, not a generational, as an all-star type player. But it is kind of funny to, you know, Eastern Conference scout number one. I don't think he has a real high ceiling, but I think he'll play and play for a long time. College assistant coach two, whose team played against Harper at Rutgers. Very talented, can go both ways. Right, left, prefers left. Obviously, the bloodlines are there. Is he a one or a two? And so you have these different, you know, Western Conference executive number one. Obviously, like the size for the position, I think he's going to have to be more the Cade Cunningham type and gives, you know, this whole scouting report. And I think it's just funny to remember, as we talk about a lot during NFL draft season, even amongst teams, nevertheless, evaluator to evaluator, the views of these players are different. There's no such thing as, you know, even Cooper Flagg, there's someone somewhere who works for an NBA team that is like, I don't think that kid's that good. I think that person's crazy, and I have serious questions about their ability to evaluate talent. But they've also probably been right about stuff. And like, they work for an NBA team. And I think that's important to point out as we go through this. There's a lot of differing opinions. And that's why I actually really enjoy this, is because instead of getting the same scouting report that you get from every single draft service, you get real opinions with some variance on the range of what these guys could be.
Yeah, and it's funny you say there's somebody on, you know, some NBA scouting team that thinks Cooper Flagg isn't good. When he was in high school and he was killing and bursting onto the scene, I was talking to a coach and he was telling me, you know, he's not that good. The circuit that he's playing on isn't that good. He's playing in Maine. And I'm like, I mean, some of the stuff he's doing is just like still unprecedented.
And then he went to USA Select Camp and was the best player on the floor with Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant.
And then he went on to play on the Nike circuit. Because everybody, if you play on the Nike circuit, the Peach Jam, you go to Peach Jam and you do your thing down there, that's where like you get your praise. And he went down there and was killing them. And finally, the coach was like, all right, I take back everything I said about this guy. He actually is the truth. And that's sort of kind of just what it takes. Like, it takes being put in, or for some coaches anyway, put in a different environment, seeing how you respond. But the fact that he was cooking Kevin Durant on a court with Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James, I think that speaks volumes to like who he is.
Flags the truth, for sure. And he'll be a part of the Wings segment that Aldridge puts out tomorrow. So the first guy we're going to hit is Vijay Edgecombe, who ESPN now has as their third pick in this draft, the guy they think is going to go to the Philadelphia 76ers if the Sixers don't trade that pick. Western Conference, I'm just going to read a couple of snippets from these guys. But Western Conference exec number two. I think he's more like Cam Thomas than an all-pro player or something like that. But Edgecombe, to me, has more upside than Thomas. I like him better offensively, athletically. I like him better defensively. I think he's more of a versatile all-around player than Cam is. College general manager. From the jump, he was a super mature kid. When coaches are talking, eyes on them. Very coachable. Wants to learn. Wants to get better. Never late. First in, last to leave. Just things you have to tell guys. Sometimes you're telling guys who are 5 or 6 year pros. For him, it came naturally. Western Conference scout number one. From the end of the season until now, his jumper has gotten better. It was flat during the year. And then he got to the combine in Chicago and he was like, whoa, that shot's not flat anymore. Last but not least, Eastern Conference exec number one. To me, I think he could be the second best player in this draft. He's a little raw basketball experience-wise, but he's a great kid. Steph Castle was Rookie of the Year. The biggest reason was he was able to defend right away. This guy can do the same thing, and he's not a bad shooter. Edgecombe is a guy, like, if he falls to six, I think the Wizards are going to be thrilled. I do think the Wizards, Josh Robbins had a great piece in The Athletic today, kind of where the Wizards are sitting, and I think there might be a guy that they really like, and maybe throughout this draft process, they've fallen in love with someone. But when Will Dawkins said, hey, man, like, we're just going to take the best player at six, I tend to believe him that they look at guys like Edgecombe, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson. They're all kind of in the same tier. I can tell you why they're going to be good. I can tell you why they might not work out. And that's, you know, whoever falls to them, we'll see. But I think Edgecombe, like, in terms of a Washington fit, he's got positional size, great athleticism, and he's an A-plus kid. He might not be able to shoot, and he might be really limited offensively in the league. It depends on how much the offensive side of his game comes along. He's got some bag, but the bag's got to get a lot deeper and a lot sharper. And the shooting, obviously, has got a long way to go. And it's like, how many of those same types of guys do you want? Bub Carrington's a little bit that way. Bilal is that way. So do they want someone who fits a different mold, or do they want someone who's kind of similar, but maybe even a better version of some of the guys that they have? And that's kind of where I feel like Edgecombe fits. But from a character standpoint, you bet on that kid, which I think is why he's risen to the top of this group of players.
You got to love a high character guy. I was thrown off a little bit when he got the Cam Thomas comparison. Like, Cam Thomas is really a bucket, man.
Yeah.
And I'm not to say, you know, Edgecombe isn't that guy.
It's more of the tier, right? It's like Thomas is a bucket, but is he an all-star?
Nah. Okay, got you.
Right. And that Edgecombe is like might be a defensive version of that, where it's like, I'm trying to think of like a good comparison. Like, obviously, if it works, he's Andre Iguodala. Like, with the high IQ, the high character, the defensive ability, if he can develop offensively. Like, Andre's a guy that could play point guard. I don't know that Edgecombe has that basketball IQ, at the very least, yet. But the question is, like, could he get it? Who's a less deluxe Andre Iguodala? I don't know. I'm blanking right now. But that's Vijay Edgecombe. The other guy from the guard spot, and this guy may be more Cam Johnson as a player, is Trey Johnson. Texas guard, or 6'5", he's 19 years old, and Eastern Conference scout number one says, again, this is reading from the Athletic's NBA Draft Confidential, just in part. It's worth reading. It's a long piece. It's worth your time. Read the whole thing if you're an NBA draft nut. He has a chance to be one of the top three players. He has the talent to do it. I think he has the mindset. He's been a really hard player to like. I've watched him for 3 years. He's a hard player to like because he seems like he's a selfish player, but he's the hardest worker from everybody I've talked to at Texas. Eastern Conference scout number two. The impressive thing about him is you look at his stats for a freshman, what he shot, and with the whole scouting report geared to stop him, he can shoot that thing. What they're talking about Ant Edwards is that Ant needs to learn how to play with his back to the basket. Trey has that shot in his game. I've seen him get off the ball. I've seen him worry about playing against more athletic guys off the bounce. I just worry about him playing against more athletic guys off the bounce, but off the catch, one to two dribbles, he's one of the best doing that. Western Conference executive number two. He's been the same player his whole life. He's got to be a guy who gets the ball and gets a lot of shots. He's going to have the ball. There's going to be some standing around and watching him. He'll score in the NBA. Last but not least, one more. Johnson's good. Probably the best shooter in the draft. Probably top five, top 10. He's improved too. His attitude's improved. His game is more well-rounded than it was a year ago. How many really good shooters are a little selfish? That doesn't bother me. Johnson, to me, is the most interesting player in this entire draft outside of the top two guys. Because there is a chance he's Devin Booker. And if he's Devin Booker, that's the third best player probably in this draft. Because Devin Booker's a freaking first-team All-NBA Olympian-caliber player. Devin Booker's awesome. Devin Booker was the best player on a team that won two games in the NBA Finals in 2021 before losing to Giannis. Like, Devin Booker's awesome. Does Trey Johnson have the makeup that Booker has? Does he have the playmaking ability that Booker has? Devin, coming out of Kentucky, didn't necessarily have that stuff, or we didn't know. And I think that's what teams are probably going to be trying to figure out, is watching film with the kid, interviewing him. How does he feel about, like, how much can you feel out his basketball IQ? And then what are you going to get for him defensively? Because that's the other thing, is Booker, remember, when some of the tweets were coming out last summer in the Olympics about who's the guy that's going to do the dirty work, Booker was like, I got it. He's got that competitiveness in him. Does Johnson have that in him to get better defensively? And does he have the ability to get better defensively? If he does, he's probably the guy that should go three. If not, he's probably going to fall a little bit. But if, you know, for the Wizards, I think he's a very interesting guy because obviously they need shooting desperately. And he is a guy that can shoot the absolute mess out of the ball.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, his buy-in being the biggest thing with him. I think being able to score, if you can score, I think that'll translate well to the NBA. And the fact that he's getting a Devin Booker comparison, I think is like very on par. Because even when Devin Booker was at Kentucky, we saw flashes where he can score, but he wasn't going out there dropping 20 and 30 every game because there were just so much talent around him. So I think coming to the NBA, he'll have a little bit more of an opportunity to, like, even showcase what he's already showcased in college, where he was averaging 20. Like, he was getting buckets.
As a 19-year-old in the SEC. Like, he's a really talented scorer. The question is like, what is the value of that? And that's kind of, I think, what we're trying to figure out in the modern NBA. Which leads us to a couple more guys we're going to talk about next. Jeremiah Fears, the point guard from Oklahoma, plus a Tyrese Halliburton type of build player that I'm very intrigued by. And there's another French guard, so you know we got to talk about him because we know Will Dawkins loves him a French guard. We will discuss more of the 2025 NBA draft guard class with some help from David Aldridge next. But first, the latest from the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches. It's Offman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll preview Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up at 6:30. Right now, though, previewing the NBA Draft, which is a week away. And David Aldridge has released his annual NBA Draft Confidential, where he talks to a number of executives, coaches, scouts about the prospects and says, you tell me your honest opinion, and in return, I won't put your name on it. So it's a great way to get real info on these guys. And with that, we pick up with the guards, which came out today. There'll be the forwards and the bigs tomorrow and Friday on The Athletic. Jeremiah Fears is a player that I'm going to kind of brush by because I actually don't know how interesting he is here unless, Anthony, we get a Jordan Poole trade in the next week.
Okay.
If you tell me there's a Jordan Poole trade,
you get the next best point guard. Kind of.
Now I'm interested in a point guard. And not that Jordan is 100% here for the long, long term, like the 2028, 2029 long term. But you do, if you're going to acquire a player, and this was kind of the Denny Avdija trade last year, right? You need to open up the space for that player to get minutes and develop. And so if you've already got Bub Carrington and you have Jordan Poole, who's a point guard, where is Jeremiah Fears getting minutes? That said, just in case, and there's a chance that they just think he's the best player on the board and they figure it out later. Eastern Conference scout number one. He's hard for me. He was at the USA Basketball 2024 FIBA Men's U18 AmeriCup, and he's trying to get it all at once. You want him to take a bit of time, but he can go and get a bucket. He can pass. The intel is a lot better than you see as a player. As a player, I think there's times he's a baby. He gets frustrated easily. I'm trying to think of guys he can be like. He's growing up, so that helps, but he's more of a Darius Garland type player. Darius Garland's a very, very good player, but he's not the best player on a title team, right? He's the second best guard on that team and probably the third or fourth best player overall when you compare him to Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and depending on what you think of guys like Jared Allen. Eastern Conference scout number two, he gets to the paint. He didn't shoot it at a high clip, but a lot of that is being young and garnering a lot of attention. But he can shoot it. He'll be fine in that area. He has some speed in the open floor. Fears in transition. When he picks up speed, he's really good, and he sees the floor pretty well. I think he's really interesting. Last one, because this guy loves him. Eastern Conference exec number one. Love him. I think he's right up there. He's like Cooper Flagg. He's classified up, so he's young. So just from an age perspective, he's a year younger, like Flagg is compared to most of these guys. He's only 18. To me, he's a future all-star. Smooth. Does he need to get stronger? Yeah, but he's not skinny. He's athletic as heck, quick as heck. So Fears is definitely interesting. I just wonder, is it the right pick for the Wizards right now if they were to have that as an option? The size is definitely something to worry about, but he's the youngest player in the draft. And the Wizards also like taking guys who are really young because the runway is so long in terms of how much better they can get. Here's a guy that's super interesting to me, Anthony. How's your file on Igor Demin? Igor Demin.
You said who?
Igor Demin.
One more time. You said who?
E-G-O-R-D-E-M-I-N. Igor Demin.
I don't know about him.
Okay, he's 19 years old. He went to BYU. What have I told you? He's 6'8".
Okay.
And he's a point guard. Like a true point guard. You interested?
Hey, look, we're seeing a lot of big guards. You see Tyrese, you see Shea. So, like, talk to me.
Western Conference exec number three. His vision and passing stuff, he's not Luka, but this kid can pass it, and he has size and can play in an NBA game because he can think on his own. He doesn't need a script and look at it and has to learn it. He understands flow, who needs touches, time management already. He's mature beyond what it would be as a rookie. At worst, he's Josh Giddey in that hemisphere of a clone. The shooting piece, I'm not concerned with. He'll figure that out. Overall, he may be getting a little undervalued. When I saw him early, I figured if he played 34, 36 minutes a game, he could come close, I'm not saying he would, to averaging a triple-double. And I don't think he was playing with that great a group of guys around him. How many other guys from that team are going to be pulling down a paycheck except for maybe one or two? Definitely some concerns about the shooting and some of the other people that talk about him. But the Josh Giddey comparison is made independently by two different people. It's really like, can you handle the physicality? But you know what I can teach in theory? I can teach a guy how to handle physicality. I can get him in the weight room. We can work with him. I can't teach 6'8 with a feel for the game. If he's there at 18, I think the Wizards could certainly look at that. You look at what they like, intellect, feel, positional size. Seems like he's interesting.
Nah, he definitely does seem interesting. But again, I like the big guard aspect of it. And I think that's what we're starting to see in the NBA. You talk about a Cade Cunningham. I just mentioned Shea and Tyrese. Like, we're seeing big guards sort of kind of, burst into the scene. And maybe that's the new, prototype of guard that a lot of NBA teams want.
Yeah, definitely. And so I am, and he, like, because of the size, you wonder, could he play with Bob Carrington? Nevertheless, as those two could potentially battle it out in the future for the starting point guard spot. Bob, obviously, heck of a season last year that puts him in a great spot to be that. But he's, I'm intrigued. I need to watch him more. But based off that, I'm intrigued. Last but not least, and there's more. There's write-ups on a bunch of players in here that I didn't get to, Jace Richardson, Walter Clayton, etc. But one other guy that I've seen mocked to the Wizards at 18, Nolan Traore, 6'3 guard from France. You know, Will Dawkins loves a French guard.
Yes, he does.
Let's see. Where do we want to... Let's see. When you let him play, he's really talented. He can see it. He's really good in transition. He can make a shot, but he's not a dead-eye guy. I think he goes early 20s, late teens, early 20s is a good, comfortable landing spot. He'll probably start his career as a good backup. He'll be a little more mature than a lot of the younger guards because he's played professionally for so long. I don't know if his motor is such to be one of those guys in the league. You have to have that killer gene. I don't think he has it. Hoop Summit, he played out of his mind, but he still doesn't come at you with that, like, I'm going to kill you in his game. This is funny. Western Conference Executive number 3. Our scouts have an equation for French guards. They don't make it in the NBA. Killian Hayes, Frank Ntilikina, not Tony Parker. He made it. I went in with my eyes colored, and then I went, okay, what if this kid was playing in the United States as a freshman or sophomore? Would he be a first-team All-ACC or first-team Big Ten? Or first-team All-Big Ten? I don't think so, but he'd be flirting with it. Would he be a starter on most ACC or Big Ten squads? Yes. 6'3", real size, plays with pace, good vision, mature. That's at least interesting because I think the other thing that the Wizards have done really well, particularly, is the makeup. Obviously, like, Bub, Keyshawn George, like, those guys are dudes. They're dogs as well. Like, they're both, whatever the nebulous definitions of those two things, kind of an if-you-know-you-know kind of thing. They are guys that are confident in their own self. They are confident in their ability to grow, and they don't get shaken, which is really important because the Wizards are probably going to lose a lot of games again this year. They have a lottery protect or a top 8 protected pick next year. They've already said, like, we're going to play the young guys and see what happens. If the young guys are really good, then great. But when you play a lot of young guys, you're probably not going to be very good. And so you need to be able to handle losing. And if you've played professionally overseas versus you played at a top college program after going undefeated in high school, your ability to handle that, I think, is a little bit different. So I think that is, he's a name to watch at 18, I think, for sure.
I'm not going to lie. The fact that the executive pointed out a lot of French guards don't make it concerns me, Craig. And the thing is,
I think French basketball is in a very different place now, though.
I will say, though, the fact that this franchise has been snake bitten by, you know, not to say we can't go the international route, but I just don't want to.
Bilal, I know Keyshawn played at University of Miami, but Bilal, I mean, Sar, like, they, it's, you just have to be good at scouting.
Yeah.
You have to understand. Like, and, you know, oh, French guards haven't made it. Evan Fournier has been in the NBA for like a dozen years. Like, there's guys that have, maybe they're not superstars like Tony Parker was, but there's a bunch of really good players that have been just fine from France. And I mean, Batum, sure, he's a forward, but like, people kind of like him as a point forward. Same thing with Boris Diaw.
Yep.
Diaw's been running the French program for a decade at this point.
Hey, look, Craig, this is why you don't ask Anthony who should the Wizards draft.
No. Famously not. If you know, you know. Which I know, you know, and there's one other person that gets that joke, and I doubt that they're listening right now. When we get back, Game 6 NBA Finals, we're previewing it here on the Team 980.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Are we just an instrumental show now? Or just instrumental day?
Instrumental day.
Okay. It's Instrumental Wednesday. What a dumb day. What a dumb theme. On the Hoffman Show.
Would you like me to sing the lyrics?
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. It's lip syncing.
I don't know the lyrics, Craig. You know this, man.
To Mr. Brightside?
I know the song. I don't. So I'm one of those guys.
It's one of the easiest songs to sing along
to. I don't know the lyrics,
to.
Though, Craig. I don't.
I actually saw a funny meme on the internet, Anthony, the other day that it was like some girl at a bar Shazamming this song. Didn't know Mr. Bright. She's like bopping. She's like, this song rocks. And just like, that's her body language. And like someone took video of her and Shazam is open on her phone.
You're just, I'm
like,
in tears. Now, this is a great song. I don't
know
the words.
I guess
though,
you
Craig.
Have to learn it at some point in your life.
And so you know the words?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't offer to sing because I don't sing.
Isn't this the chorus?
Yes. Actually, that's the bridge. So... You know. I don't sing, Anthony. I'm on the record as anti-karaoke, anti-singing. I'm bad at it. I don't sing, especially in public. My wife and I might occasionally scream sing songs to each other. This morning during her workout, she was definitely scream singing Cher's Do You Believe in Life After Love to me. Because that was her way of suffering and getting through the workout that she was doing on our stationary bike. So just from upstairs, up yonder... I just heard, Do You Believe in Life After Love?
Man.
Yeah. That's love right there, baby.
That's for you guys.
That's the good stuff. All right. Apropos of none of that, also to the people on the internet, Mr. Brightside was playing because the YouTube stream, where you can watch us every day at the Team 980, doesn't get the rejoin music because of copyright law. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night, Anthony, and it's obviously do or die. You ready? Ready for this? You want to do a bad basketball show impression?
Uh-oh.
Anthony, is Game 6 a must-win for the Thunder?
No.
Okay, ready for the next question? Is Game 6 a must-win for the Pacers?
I think so.
Yeah, because otherwise the season's over. It's like, is it a must-win? I don't know. Will they die if they don't? No, but for in the context of the basketball series, yeah. Tyrese Halliburton, a game-time decision officially, but he is already said, like, I'm playing. And I think the question is, like, how effective can he be as a scorer? Because We talked about this extensively yesterday. If you missed this, to open the show yesterday, and this content, this topic interests you, then you should definitely listen to it on the Hoffman Show podcast, hour one yesterday, wherever you get your podcast. I do not think that Tyrese Haliburton was nearly as bad in game five as people wanted to say, for the simple reason that he allowed them to still play their style. He kept the pace going. He rebounded the ball well. He had assists. Like, in the second half, he did not make a field goal because he didn't make one the whole game. He barely scored, but he did keep the Pacers' identity alive, and that opened up a bunch of other stuff. So what is the, if that is who he is going to be, a guy that is merely a ball mover, a creator for others because of his vision and his ability to quickly dissect, the ball needs to go here now, a guy who can anticipate the ball coming off the rim and get them out on their break by rebounding it and getting in transition, is that worthy of being a starting point guard in the NBA Finals compared to TJ McConnell, who can do less of some of those things but is more effective as a penetrator, can get the ball into the paint and either score for himself or create for others? That is a really hard question for Rick Carlisle to answer. I think what I would probably do is start Haliburton and increase McConnell's minutes. So I'm making the Haliburton stints shorter. They are long enough to keep us going. They are long enough to let him be as effective as he can before that calf gets too tight or is really bothering him. I'm also giving him a chance, obviously, the start of the game to feel it out. Can I generate some movement? Can I get going? But making sure the play style stays intact is worth playing him. You're not saving him for anything. So unless there's like, hey, man, if he plays, he's going to tear his calf and like he's out for next season. Like, if that's on the table, then okay, maybe we just have to bite the bullet and hope that he can heal more going into game seven and he's going to have to be careful or whatever. Or we're careful with him. But your season's on the line. You made it this far. You didn't come this far to come this far. I'm starting Haliburton. I'm seeing how he goes. If he cannot get a shot off like he couldn't in game five, I'm shortening his minutes maybe significantly, but he still has value over not playing him at all.
Yeah, nah, he definitely has to play. And I'm not going to lie, I was given into some of the criticism because, again, I didn't know how well he was playing despite, you know, the injury to his calf. The fact that he was plus three, the fact that you mentioned, you know, he did a great job in terms of just managing the game. Upon a second look, it's just like, you need him out there. Granted, when the Pacers are at their best, he is scoring. But even if he's not scoring, he's still impacting the game. So him playing tomorrow is definitely going to be vital for them.
So the other part of this is my hope, if I'm Carlisle, is that I can keep Lu Dort off of TJ McConnell, right? That's why I would start him, is if I can distract Lu Dort with Tyrese Haliburton. Because, like, let's say I say, hey, Hallie's going to come off the bench or he's not playing at all. TJ McConnell, you're starting game six of the NBA Finals. Have fun, bro. Is he going to be able to get the same penetration on Lu Dort as he was able to get on Cason Wallace and the other litany of backup guards, the other assignments that he drew? Like, that to me is the question, is if you were to start McConnell, what is the trickle down? One, who's your backup? Who's playing the McConnell minutes, right? Because it's not just like, what's the drop off from healthy Haliburton to healthy McConnell? It's what's the drop off from healthy McConnell to Ben Shepherd, I guess, is probably getting more minutes. And what's better? Some amount of minutes being spent by injured Tyrese Haliburton or healthy Ben Shepherd? That's kind of the question you're asking. And you can stagger the minutes. And I think the other thing is, Carlisle, if McConnell's cooking again and Halliburton's as banged up as he was in game five, I don't think it's unreasonable to say TJ should close the game. And obviously you need to feel out, as we talked about the other day, Nembhard's the guy I would have benched in the fourth quarter based off how his day was going for McConnell, not Haliburton. So feeling out that mixture of players, I think, is essentially important. And if I'm Carlisle, I'm telling all of them, hey, guys, if it gets down late, you all need to be ready because we're going to play whoever's gotten us there, who's ever gotten us into the end. And then same thing for game seven. Like, I'm not married to a rotation for the fourth quarter. And I think that's the big factor for me tomorrow. But if I want Siakam to be at his best, if I want Toppin to be at his best, if I want Miles Turner to be at his best, I think Halliburton needs to be out there, even if he's not up to par as a scorer. And even if I shorten down some of those minutes, that still gets me a little more TJ McConnell and what he brings without exposing my third string guys and having to go even deeper into my bench in game six of the NBA Finals.
Who do you think is the X factor for the Pacers for tomorrow's game? Anyway?
Mathurin. Because he also saw, like, okay, Halliburton can't score. Who can? Mathurin.
Do you think Siakam needs a...
Siakam's not an X factor because he's got to play well. If Mathurin plays well and Siakam doesn't, congrats Oklahoma City, you've won the championship.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can play well. Like, he played well last game. He had 28 points, 9 of 15 shooting.
Yeah, Mathurin...
But do we need a 40-point explosion like Jalen Williams just went for?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a game changer, right? But, like, I think if Siakam doesn't have 20-plus, like, the Pacers are dead in the water. To me, that's not an X factor. That's, like, that's a heartbeat, right?
Yeah, I just feel like the first three quarters, though, like, he really was, like, pouring it on. Then the fourth quarter, he slowed it down. So, like, if he is consistent through four quarters, you got 40 points. And he's had big games before, so... I'm putting it more so on Siakam, him going out there taking advantage of his mismatches. I do think Mathurin does need to play. He needs to provide that spark off the bench.
Turner's the other one.
But I'm with Siakam. And if not Siakam, then Nembhard, dude. You got
to
give me more.
Nembhard's got to be better. He doesn't need to be crazy. Like, if Nembhard can give you 15 points and be efficient with it, like, that's fine. Just don't turn the basketball over.
Yeah.
Keep up your good defense. And then if Turner can get going, like, if Turner hits six threes, then, like, we're talking about a different thing. And it feels like he's kind of due. He played better in game five. He wasn't great, but he was better. And he looked more comfortable. Can they get a big Miles Turner game at home, the longest tenured Pacer back in Indiana, give the crowd something to cheer about? Like, I think that would be awesome. And then we head back to OKC for game seven. That's tomorrow night. We are off tomorrow, so we will review either an NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder or preview a game seven on the weekend on Friday's show. We'll tell you what else we got coming up on Friday and hit Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones next on the Team 980.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. All right, last order of business. We're off again tomorrow. I said we're off tomorrow, as I've said multiple times a show, so we're, again, off tomorrow. be back on Friday. Clint Yates is going to join us. We're going to talk about this Lakers sale. He and I were texting. We were sending head explode emojis, basically, back and forth. So we'll talk about the Lakers thing. There's a million other things on our rundown. What else we got? Oh, Brittany Sykes is going to be on the show on Friday ahead of the game against Atlanta for the Mystics. What else we got on the rundown, Anthony? Do you remember what else we have on Friday? Because I feel like...
Take a man, game six. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Will we be talking about a game seven? Do you think Indiana gets it done?
I think they get it done, man. I feel like OKC was down 2-1 in this series. They came back 1-2 straight. And this team, the pace, they've been counted out, doubted all playoffs, even, you know, in the regular season. So I think they're going to be able to respond tonight. They're going to be able to get up for this game. I think they're going to force a game seven.
Yeah, I found it interesting how much I've been rooting for the Pacers in this series. I just really, really enjoy them. I also really enjoy OKC. So like, I feel almost bad. So I know my heart, I want it to, because I also want a game seven. Like I want the game seven. I'll be so happy for OKC if they win. I think they're going to do it. And it really, to me, comes down to the fact that Halliburton's not healthy. Like, this is a 68-win juggernaut behemoth. It takes your best to beat them. And I don't think Indiana is going to be at its best because their best player is not capable of playing his best.
At home, though, Craig, the Indianimals.
I know. But they already split one. Like, Oklahoma City's not scared. And I just think unless Halliburton can do something special, then it's probably not going to happen. I just don't know if from a health standpoint he's capable of doing that right now. So that's my prediction. I hope I'm wrong. And we're talking about a game seven on Friday. Right now, though, let's wrap up the show.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
That's an interesting end time, Anthony. We haven't had that one in a while.
It is.
All right. This is just, man, this is some real life stuff. DeJounte Murray talking about Greg Popovich to the Pivot podcast. I actually just read a piece in The Athletic in their The Peak vertical, and it talks about human performance of another great Pop story. And I feel like we're going to get more and more Pop stories now that he's done coaching, and people are just going to finally open up about all the amazing experiences they've had with him. Check this out from DeJounte Murray.
He was like a father figure. There's so many stories. If he was able to come sit here and talk, he'd tell you he's never had a player come in his office that cried on his shoulder from how many murders he had to deal with back home in Seattle, how many funerals I had to pay for. It was so crazy. A lot of my people don't even know this. From family, friends, and the penitentiary, Pop didn't want me to go to Seattle. When I first got drafted, I wouldn't go to Seattle. And that was a man that cared about me. That was a man that wanted me to reach my full potential in life first, but then as a basketball player. He's so real, he tried to move my mom to San Antonio with his own money after she got shot. My mom was shot in the leg my rookie year. He called her himself without me knowing until after the fact. We want to move you here. No, not with his money, with my money. That sounds like a dude that cared about me and loved me, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pop is one of the most extraordinary people that we've ever had in sports. And we don't know the half of it. Like, it really is wild how different he approaches his job than it feels like most other people. Like, most other people, like, I mean, Phil Jackson did it differently, engaged in, like, almost what felt like psychological warfare with his players, and he was really good at manipulating them. That's just not how Popovich was. It was real, it was authentic, it cared, it mattered. Never once did you think that it was, like, that he was easy or soft. And I think that's, like, what, to me, that's what real toughness is the ability to have those conversations, to be real with people, to be honest with people. And there's nobody in sports who's done it quite like Pop.
I think that's also why I appreciate documentaries, because we get a peel behind the curtain of like who that person was off the court. We see who the intense, funny guy he is, you know, at times on the court, but we don't see the charismatic dude he is off the court. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen.
I really hope that before his time on Earth comes to a close, that Pop will sit for a real in-depth, like, give me a 10-part documentary on Greg Popovich and the Spurs. Like, I want the book. I want the doc. I want it all. He doesn't want it. But for the sake of history, Doc, please, our Pop, please let us. All right. That's our show. We'll see you on Friday.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.